Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
With Fidelity Wealth Management, a dedicated advisor can work with you on a comprehensive plan to help you reach your wealth's full potential. Plus, you'll have access to specialists in estate planning strategies. So you're not just growing and protecting your wealth, you're sharing it. More at fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimums apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC. Welcome to the Jill on Money podcast. It is Tuesday, October 12th. Mark, it is an amazing thing that today, the 12th of October, we are going to present to our listeners a second consecutive call from the Garden State. We are going to talk to Dana, who's on the line from New Jersey. What can we do for you today?
Well, I have a couple of questions. I'm recently retired and I'm moving funds around. So I wanted to know basically where I should be putting these funds. I have a 457B, which I really didn't realize had so many complications to it once it came due. Basically, I have to take it or do an annuity, and I don't want to do an annuity. So I'm like, okay, if I have to take it, I'll take it next year, which is good. Mm-hmm. But where do I keep it, being that I'm going to use it for income? Do I just leave it in a savings account?
But when you say a 457 plan, were you a teacher or a municipal worker?
I'm a nurse.
Okay. So you worked at a hospital and they had 457 plan. And when you say you have to move it, you don't have to take a distribution. Can't you roll it over into an IRA rollover account, or is that not allowed?
No, not allowed. This particular plan was only allowed to move over to another 457, but since I don't plan on working within the next year, maybe after that I might, but within this year, I know I'm not. I have the option of taking the distribution or keeping it as an annuity.
What is the lump sum amount?
The lump sum is about $82K.
Tell us what else is going on in your life. How old are you?
I'm 65, recently retired in June. My husband's 70. He retired about a year and a half ago.
Your husband, is he receiving Social Security right now?
He is.
How much is that?
I guess he gets about $3,000
a month. $3,000 a month.
Under that, yeah, right.
Okay, got it. You're not receiving Social Security yet, right?
No, I decided to hold off till at least full or maybe longer.
Okay, great. Are either of you entitled to a pension of any amount?
He has a pension that he has a small pension, about $18K a year. Mm-hmm. I have a cash balance, which I could use as like an annuity, but I'm decided to roll that over.
Okay, how much was that cash balance?
The cash balance was $232.
And that you already have rolled over, right?
I'm in the process of.
Are you managing it yourself?
I'm putting it back into like a TIA 401k. I do have a financial planner. Mm-hmm. And when I rolled over my 403b, mm-hmm. I rolled it over to that financial planning place. But there's a 1% commission on that.
Not a commission. You mean an annual asset management fee, right?
Correct.
Okay. How much is in that rollover account from the old 403b?
So rolled over 1.2.
Ooh, hello, Dana. Yeah, okay. And what about your hubby? Does he have old retirement accounts as well?
Right, he's got about $500K in an IRA that's being managed with the same place. Mm-hmm. And then he's got stocks from an old company that he worked with. That when he does decide to take it, it'll be like the 15% tax rate and not the full.
Okay. How much is that?
I think he's got about $300K in there.
Look at you not knowing about $300,000. Look at you, Dana from New Jersey. So you got a bunch of money. What does it cost for you guys to live your life on a monthly basis?
So on a monthly basis, it's about, to run the household, about $8,000. And, you know, I don't hear this very often, but I know there's a lot of couples who do this. We like keep our money separately.
I love that. You know? What's you wrong know, with so, that? So how does it, tell
I,
me
I
about how
hear people say that though. Oh, you know? No. And I know a lot of people who do. So even though we have our own retirements and stuff, basically we fund everything for the house and then whatever's left over, you do what you want with it.
I got you. I got it. Your husband gets $3,000 a month from Social Security. His pension's $1,500 a month. What's making up the difference there?
He's taking a 20K distribution.
28 grand and 18 grand and 20 grand. And now you pay for your life and everything's fine, right? You own your house?
We own our house. We have a HELOC left over on it.
Mm-hmm.
About
how much?
About 50K on there. And because mm-hmm. interest is so low, mm-hmm. I've actually been putting more into an emergency fund in cash because learning from your podcast, I didn't really have a dedicated emergency fund. So I'm working on building that up a little bit more.
Okay. That's good. That's great. So when you look at the house value, what is it about approximately?
Probably about 600K.
And you're going to stay there?
Yes, we like it here.
Great. Okay. So when you look at the future, is there any need that you have for cash in the near term?
We do plan on taking one or two trips. We do mm-hmm. ski. Mm-hmm. So there's money that goes towards that.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to, you know, do some renovations on the house, but maintenance more, you know, painting, that kind of replace carpets, that kind
of
stuff.
And besides that money, the stock account that your husband has, is there any uh-huh. non-retirement assets that you have besides your emergency reserve fund?
Yes, we have probably about 70K in stocks jointly. And then I have another 15K in like a mutual fund that I just let sit there and grow. So we do have that.
Yep.
And we do have other cash. Like he has cash. I have cash. I have all about 40 some thousand cash for maybe a car or whatever, any kind of emergency that might come up. So okay. I kind of just keep saving towards whatever. It's like my emergency fund for me.
Right. Next year will be your low earning year, essentially. Next year will be the year you don't have income.
Right. And okay. that's the year I'm taking I have to take the 457B.
Okay.
And then where do I keep it? I'm going to not take any more distributions from my rollover.
Right.
Where do I keep this? Because that's what
The lump sum of 82, you're going to keep in. Well, let me ask you one other quick question. You have all this emergency reserve money and the 82 has been taxed yet or not been taxed yet?
It has not been taxed.
It will not be. Okay. So you're going to have to leave some money. I put it in cash. I put it in the, like, live on it, leave it at that and use the money and spend it. I think that there's a lot of accounts all over the place. I'm a little bit worried about the idea that, like, not worried, but, you know, there's a lot to keep track of. So if you like the financial planner and you think the financial planner is a great person and has done right by you, you may want to just have like some sort of global look at what's happening. You have plenty of money. You're not going to run out of money. And in terms of the money at TIAA CREF that you've now moved that $232,000 cash balance, did you put it into the annuity side or in the mutual fund side?
Yeah, I put it back into the 401k. I have the option to actually stay in the same plan from where I worked mm-hmm. with the same rates and everything, which were very low.
Yeah, that's good.
Rates.
Yeah.
So I put it back in there and I put it, thinking I won't need that for another 5 years at least. I just said do a 60-40
great.
Balance on there.
That's perfect. I mean, and I like TIA. I mean, the only thing, of course, that you may want to be thinking about and that I would be thinking about if I were you is like, maybe I would want to like actually see if I want to consolidate everything. But I see that it's, you know, there are different flavors of retirement accounts and you're not ready to. It'd be interesting to see how you do managing that cash balance in the TIA CREF, in that model, and look at your financial planner. And then you're going to have to, I know that at some point in the future, you're going to say, what value is this person bringing to my life? And then you're going to make a hard decision about whether you want to do this yourself, or you want to stick with this person. Because obviously, you know, you're paying real money.
You know,
you've got almost $2 million that's right. there. And that means it's 20 grand every single year. And 20 grand right. a year, obviously, is money you could be living on. Or if you feel like this person does give you value, then great. That's fine.
So if this person is not a fiduciary, mm-hmm. can I ask you this? How do fiduciaries make money? Do they charge that same kind of fee?
So it's interesting. The fiduciary is just says, I have to tell you what's in your best interest, even if it's not great for me, the advisor. So what the fiduciary would have to do is basically say, hey, you know what, Dana, there's no reason why you should send me that cash balance. You've got a great plan at TIAA, and you're doing fine there. And so just put it there, right? That's kind of the fiduciary model. Now, that fiduciary can still charge you 1%. Some fiduciary planners charge a flat fee. Some charge a percent of assets that they manage, and others will just charge even an annual or an hourly rate. The idea of fiduciary means that they just have to make sure they're putting your interest before their interest. You know, that's a little squishy sometimes, right? Because right. I'm sure that in the financial planner's mind, he might say, well, you know, roll over the cash balance to me because then we'll consolidate everything. It's cleaner and I'm doing a great job for you. And, you know, who knows how you're going to do by yourself. So you can almost convince yourself that would be, but they would really have to explain that to you and tell you what your options are rather than just sort of say, give me the money.
Right, right. So I kind of want to do my own, but I'm still a little leery since we're still trying to decide when to take what. So
yeah.
For now, I guess keep my planner. We like her. And right now, I think she can answer our questions. But once we kind of get in cruise mode.
Yeah. I think that you have to feel like you are confident in yourself and that you're not necessarily going to shoot yourself in the foot. That's really it. But you've got a ton of money. You've done a good job. You know, you've made your decision about the lump sum, which I agree about. You've made the decision about rolling over into TIA CREF, which is great. You've got all this other money. You're managing stuff separately, but together. So I think you're in really good shape. Is there anything else that is out there that you want us to think about for you before we let you go?
So we have a bunch of life insurance policies that are like variables. So there's money attached to them now if you took it. And we're just wondering, do we just leave it because they're so low in premiums? I mean,
well, I wouldn't pay another premium. So you don't really, you know, you said you had no kids, right?
Right.
Okay. So obviously you have no need for life insurance right now. You have zero need. How much cash value is in these policies, would you guess?
I think I have a surrender value of $16,800 on mine, and I'm only paying $30 a month. It's not a lot.
Yeah, but you're paying for something you don't need, so.
Yeah, it's a $50,000 policy, but if you take that money out, you pay taxes on it, correct?
Only above, wait. Yeah, only above the amount that you've put in. If you can call up the insurance company and say, if I were to surrender this policy, what would the tax liability be? $16,000 is not zero. It's money. I'd rather use the money myself than pay the insurance company the fees associated with it.
Yeah, so the net investment was $7,000 into that. So that's like $9,000. Sitting around there, right?
Don't do this now because, right? I mean, I might even wait a year or two till the income goes back down because you know, you do the lump sum next year. That might,
right.
or you, if you find out that it's not that much tax wise and it keeps you in that same bracket, then sure, you can take it out. You know, it's going to get taxed at, say, the 22% bracket. That's fine. Big deal. I mean, I'd rather have it than the insurance company. That's all I can tell you. Dana from New Jersey, thank you so much. And if you would like to ask us a series of retirement questions and you're from the state of New Jersey, maybe we'll have another maybe this will be New Jersey week, Mark. Maybe that we'll just do everyone from New Jersey this week. We'll go state by state for the rest of the year. Just kidding. If you're from New Jersey or New York or California or North Dakota or wherever you are from, let us know if we can help you out. Go to JillOnMoney.com, click on the contact button, and we'll get your note. While you're on the website, please sign up for our free weekly newsletter. And you may want to subscribe to our sister broadcast. It is called Eye on Money. Okay, now, as always, we like to remind you to do something nice for someone else today. And remember the mantra, grit, growth, grace, and we will talk to you tomorrow. Thanks for listening.